You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Break a Bat podcast, where baseball meets Broadway. An attempt to show that my two favorite mediums don't have to live in such separate worlds and maybe even break some stigmas. We're happy to have you with us. Now let's play ball. Hello and welcome to another edition of Break a Bat, where baseball meets Broadway and sports meets show business. This is Al Malafronte coming at you today with a very, very special installment of the Break a Bat Holiday Block Party. I'll say off the bat that if there's a talk show host that says that they don't have a favorite guest or two, they're absolutely lying to you. And today's guest is certainly one of mine, as she knows full well. I want to take you back, holiday season 2019. Pre-COVID, the old studio in Midtown.
Those were the days.
The days when you came to visit the batter's box. And to this day, it's the most fun I've ever had as a host. I'm beyond ecstatic to welcome her back into the batter's box today for another chat that isn't just a gift to me, but to our audience as well that's been with us since the early days. And if you're anything like me, you love her work going all the way back to How I Met Your Mother, the Jim Gaffigan Show, and of course, her annual Christmas films that have become such a staple of our holiday season. There's just so much reason to love her work as an actress, director, producer, in the light that she is as a person and the laughs we're about to have, I'm sure. Her latest project is a very, very special one that's set to debut on our beloved Hallmark channel. It's a two-parter titled Sister Swap, where she'll be starring on screen alongside her real-life awesome sister and also our friend of the show, Kimberly Williams Paisley. Part one is titled Sister Swap, Hometown Holiday, and premieres this Sunday, December 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And part two, Christmas in the City, airs the following Sunday, December 12th at the same time. And I can't think of any better kickoff to Christmas than 4 hours of the Williams sisters on screen together. And of course, this special chat that we're about to have with one of those sisters today. So with that being said, I ask you all to please turn your attention to home plate, just beyond the marquee. Now batting again, Ashley Williams. Ashley, welcome back.
Holy cow, Al. That was a mouthful. I just want to first off apologize to the audience for, when I first came on your show, I didn't understand how baseball and Broadway meet up. That's something that didn't quite compute for me. But, you know, you were so kind. I was like, Ma, I'll come and do your show. But I have to tell you, like, deep down, I was like, is there a future for this topic? Who is the audience? But let me tell you, Al, congratulations. You found your audience. You have a very successful podcast. Apparently, you know, you were right.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And also, I should apologize to the audience because you were just making me laugh during that whole intro. But yeah, we've come a long way since we last saw each other. So this
I'm so proud of you. Good job.
Well, thank you. You're like my godmother, I feel like.
Who are these fascinating people that listen to this show? Because I, for one, am not a baseball human. So that was the first thing I said to you was, will there be any baseball questions? And you said, no, I swear, we won't make you look stupid. And I said, okay, thank God. I can talk Broadway. I can talk movies.
Like the movies that you're in, for example, that we've come to know and love.
Particularly those. But you had my sister on your show too.
Yeah, Kim came on last year when she did the Christmas Chronicles and Nashville Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, you two are appearing on screen together. It's amazing. I just wonder what the hell took so long.
Right. Good question. I can actually speak to that. I mean, first of all, there is a little known, and I can tell just because you have such a specific enthusiastic niche of an audience. There is a little known short film that I wrote, and then I arm wrestled my sister into coming in and starring with me. It's called Stud Boob, and it's the only other time we've been on camera together, but I don't talk about it very often because it was like slightly controversial. I won't even get into it, but it was a really good short film. We did a bunch of festivals, but yeah, it was called Stud Boob, and I was just did the tiniest bit naked in it. And, you know, crying. It, both very highly entertaining. So if anyone's interested in seeing Stud Boob, I will send you a link. But that was different fare than this upcoming Christmas extravaganza. So I probably won't, you know, we're going to be doing a big press tour. Like we're doing Seth Meyers and the Today Show and all this stuff to talk about these movies. And I probably won't mention the Stud Boob nakedness and crying of our debut together. But you guys, that's a special tidbit just for you.
Yeah, that you saved that for our audience. I appreciate you doing that.
Well, they're a special group, you know.
Yeah,
I feel get me.
Yeah, that's well, you've really been like, I always say that when the day you came in was like the day the show found its voice. So I feel like a lot of people really like that episode and the show really kind of developed from there.
Oh my gosh, that makes me so happy. What was it? I really like that little studio.
Long gone.
So gone. Yo,
COVID knocked that out.
Who needs studios? I'm in my living room right now and we're nailing it.
Yeah, and you are in your studio in a place that you said that you were going to go the last time we chatted. You left New York City and went all Hollywood on us. So are you happy to be back in LA now, Ash?
Honestly, like every morning I wake up and I just go, oh, phew. Listen, I love New York. I'm from New York. I was born in New York. But the weather was really fun and a very fun adventure when I was in my early 20s. But when I had my two children, two tiny little babies in New York City, you know, and it's freezing cold and I'm carrying that stroller up and down the subway stairs, I do not miss that time in my life. But actually, oh my gosh, so get this, Al, you don't even know. You have no idea how traumatized I am. So February of 2020, I left for Vancouver to direct a feature in Vancouver. And my two children and my husband came out to visit me for the weekend on March 12th. Maybe it was like March 13th. They came out to visit me for the weekend. And before they got on the airplane, I was like, is this coronavirus thing like a thing or is it like the flu? Like, and he was like, I feel like we should talk about it in person. Like maybe we should, you know, and I said, okay, well just don't let the kids go to the bathroom on the airplane. So we literally gave them Benadryl on the airplane. They didn't move the whole flight. But this was back when they were saying like masks aren't safe. Do you remember that like 4-day yeah. period? Happened to be the 4-day period that we took the entire family on an airplane. Anyway, so they all flew out and then March 16th, we shot half of a day and we got our force majeure, which meant that the entire production shut down. And the boys literally said goodbye to their school in New York City. The nanny, there was a water glass next to my son's bed, which we would check on periodically on the Nest Cam to just check on our apartment. But like he had a dinosaur toy on his bed that he left and we would just check and the dinosaur toy and everything 6 months untouched because we were in Vancouver and we basically didn't want to get back on an airplane. So we drove to California and we did our quarantine there. And then we ended up going back to Canada because we had to finish that movie that we'd started. And then we spent a year in Canada. So we were able to go, we got like our babysitters to go in and move our stuff out. So we got subletters into the place. But I have not been in New York City since February of 2020. And we are going this Sunday. I think I'm just going to cry. I'm really excited to put on a turtleneck sweater and wander the streets until I need a Manhattan and then sit in a window seat and just look out at my New York that I left without saying goodbye a year and a half, almost 2 years ago.
It's like it was an unceremonious goodbye. I had a very similar thing happen my old roommate, because we were living together for about 2.5 years, my best friend from high school, and you know, shit hit the fan, whatever it was, like Friday the 13th of March last year. And after we graduated high school, his sister went to college in LA. And we're Long Island kids originally. His parents moved out to California, though, because they used to love going to visit her. They fell in love with Cali. He went out to California on March 14th.
Oh my gosh.
And did not come back. Our lease was coming up at the end of May. And he's just like, hey, you know what? I'm going to stay out here. And he's been back to New York maybe once since, but that was not like the send off that our apartment deserved. And like this, the whole thing, it was just like, I hope that you get yourself a nice slice of pizza or something though when you come back.
Okay, there's going to be a lot of pizza. I'm not kidding about the turtleneck sweater. I was actually just packing and it's just a row of turtleneck sweaters. I'm really excited about that. I really want a Manhattan up with a maraschino cherry in a window seat. And I want to watch people go by in my turtleneck sweater. But sure, I'll definitely hit some pizza. Maybe like even a stale New York pretzel. I'll do one of those, like even a cold one, and I'll just wipe this, you know, salt off. They're so nasty. But you crunch into that soft pretzel and it's crunchy because it's so stale and you just feel like you're at home, you know? And then a Sprite with a straw and the straw keeps poking you in the nose. This is the world I miss. That's my home.
Yeah, of course. No, I mean, you're a New Yorker through and through. And but it does seem like you fit into LA nicely. I saw you were partying with Los Angeles royalty last week. It seems like you and Clayton Kershaw are all buddy buddy now.
You know what's really upsetting about that? That was in Tennessee.
I know he but he so he's a Dodgers pitcher. So he correct.
And I did hang out with him and his pregnant wife. They're so nice. But we all flew in for the day to Nashville. So Clayton and I hung out in Tennessee together, even though we both live in LA.
I love Nashville. Let me ask you, when you go down there, do you get into like the whole Grand Ole Opry thing and the scene down there? Because I know you're a New Yorker. Like when I went there for a bachelor party, that was like one of the first things I did. And I found like, you know, going on the tour while all of my friends golfed, because I don't golf. But I found myself like loving that like whole like Opry lifestyle.
What kind of tour did you do? Did you do like a bachelor tour, like on a paddle boat that's actually just on the street? Do you know what I'm talking about? We can like pedal.
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about. And we did a bus tour, but no, they do like tours of the Grand Ole Opry. I think I saw pictures of your brother-in-law and stuff there. But yeah, it was like they kind of just show you the facility. And there's like a really like, there's like a video that gives you the chills, like welcome to the Opry, welcome to the circle or whatever they said, you know, like that song that they do.
Right.
Do you get into that?
The answer is a big fat no. I am not a country girl at all. I can't really, I mean, I think it's fun and kitschy, but I wouldn't say that. I mean, I do have this very famous brother-in-law, Brad Paisley, who is apparently the greatest living guitar player. He's also just more than anything else, a really, really nice guy, but I can't say I sit and jam to his music like while I'm taking a shower or something. Like country music isn't really my thing. I appreciate Brad's music, especially like there's a couple of songs on his albums that I really just like genuinely respect from an integrity standpoint. He's a really cool guy. But it's not, I go into the Opry and I'm like, oh, this is so fun. Where are the snacks? Like, can we get some, you know, I got to say the same thing about a Dodger game. It's all about the Dodger dogs. And if you can get into the VIP area, they have free sushi. So if I get invited to a Dodger game, I'm all about the dugout club. And I like it when someone brings me a hot dog to my seat. And I like free sushi. And those are my favorite things about the Dodgers.
So wait, their ballpark sushi is good? Because Yankee Stadium, I can't touch it. It's like, especially when you go on a hot summer night. I don't want to sit with fish.
With warm sushi? No.
Yeah, they don't serve it well at Yankee Stadium. That's what I was hoping. Is Dodger Stadium actually good?
Listen, it's Los Angeles food. It's the greatest food in the world. So yeah, we're right next to Japan in LA. Where are they getting their raw fish from in New York City?
The Bronx, apparently.
Yeah, Chinatown. Exactly. So, no. So, yeah, come to LA and come for the sushi. You know, stay for the Dodgers.
You'll get me into the dugout club, obviously, because now that you and Clayton are buddy-buddy.
Actually, Brad, it's funny, my husband got a call from Brad during the height of Dodger season and was like, do you want to come? And Neil, my husband, is speaking of like Broadway and baseball, like he knows every lyric to every Broadway musical, which I find so hot. But we're not really sports people. Like I would rather read a Chekhov play aloud. And I love Chekhov. Like that's not, you know, like I'm very, very into plays, not baseball plays. anyway.
There's not that many. So,
so anyway, so he was like, yeah, totally. And he ended up in some box, like there was some sort of fancy, like they had their own private box because Brad was friends with somebody who was very fancy. You probably know who they are, but I don't. And Clayton's wife was hanging out there. And she, by the way, is giving birth in like 3 weeks. And she looks dynamite. Apparently she has like 4 kids. Does Clayton have like 4 kids?
I think he's got a few. I don't know how many, God. But he's got a few.
Bless her. She was such a powerhouse. She was like, it's fine.
Yeah, so we the two of this. You were out on the dance floor dancing to all those 80s jams together?
You know what? Clayton never came out to the dance floor. I started the dance. I was first on the dance floor. Kim and I were like doing pirouettes. We were like, get out here. We do this, for those of you that don't know, we do this big dance party to end Alzheimer's. Every year we raised almost $300,000 this year. I could talk more about the Alzheimer's Association. I think they're incredible. But we do, my mother was an 80s mom, right? Like the perm and the hot pink blazer with the shoulder pads, like hardcore, awesome 80s mom. She was a working mom back when that was controversial. And so we throw these 80s dance parties and we get all these incredible bands, like REO Speedwagon came 1 year and Darius Rutger came. I mean, hardcore. And you know, they play like Journey and, you know, Dolly Parton, and we dance our faces off and sweat. Like at the end of the night, Kim and I had to go back to the red carpet step and repeat and take more pictures. And she goes, do I look okay? And I was like, you look terrible. You're literally dripping with sweat. And she was like, well, screw it. And we just took a bunch of pictures all sweaty because I feel like people need to see how much fun it is. Anyway, it was great. And Clayton was like there off to the side. He took some pictures with some fans and some donors and stuff, but he didn't come out and jam with us. But he did come in costume. He was wearing like a hot pink. He was wearing like a onesie.
you had like the 80s where those like aviator glasses kind of that you were rocking. Yeah.
Well, I think it depends on which part of the night you caught me in that photo. I'm not sure. I was wearing like these, they were like hot pink star sunglasses.
Elton John.
Yeah, exactly. With a twist. But I had to take them off because it kept falling. bumping into things. It was so dark, you know. Anyway, you guys have to come next year. It's the most fun. Such a good show. And with COVID, we had to really limit general admission, you know.
So but I don't have to worry about that because obviously you're going to get me the VIP access and I get to hang out with you and don't have to worry about
it. Well, I think it's only like $2,500 or something. So you just pay that and then you can.
I don't need to pay rent. That's fine.
You skip rent that month and it's tax deductible, you know.
Yeah. It's one of the many great things that you do for the Alzheimer's Association, by the way. And I know that's a cause that's super close to your heart. And I just love that about you. It's awesome.
Oh, thanks. Well, yeah, the Alzheimer's Association is amazing because, you know, they're like, people are like, well, a cure, like, are we going to find a cure? They are at the very forefront of all of the most up-to-date research. And it's not just about a cure. It's about managing the disease and supporting the caregivers because, you know, the statistics on caregivers being at a higher risk of death or illness it's staggering. It's more dangerous to care for a person with Alzheimer's than it is to have Alzheimer's. It's so supporting the caregivers and giving them a network of resources is a lot of what the Alzheimer's Association does. So they've got local chapters all over the country. And anybody listening to this that has any situation of Alzheimer's in your life, you can go, no matter where you are, you can go to the Alzheimer's Association website and find out what the local chapter is nearest you and be, you know, immediately connected with somebody who's within a 5 mile radius of you that can provide you with counselors, doctors, you know, resources, support groups, so that you know, Alzheimer's is becoming more and more prevalent in our society and people are living longer. And, so it's going to become more and more common. And I would encourage anybody to go to the Alzheimer's Association website to get local resources. They were so helpful with us and my mom and figuring out end of life paperwork and palliative care. care and all that stuff. So anyway, we're not talking about baseball right now.
Not at all. No. Listen, the objective of the show is to celebrate our favorite performers from the stage, screen, and stadium. And if we break some stigmas in the process, at least, you know, the baseball fans know that you like Dodger dogs and ballpark sushi. So, you know,
we got time.
Yeah.
Big time. Very into that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Oh my goodness. Now, you know, you were talking about your family. You and Kim going to spend Christmas in Nashville together again this year?
By the way, what did my sister talk about on your show? Because she doesn't know anything about baseball, except her husband is obsessed with the Dodgers.
She is so funny. She was talking about, well, I asked her, like, are you team Derek Jeter or team Alex Rodriguez? And I was going to make, I had this whole joke planned how I compared you to Derek Jeter. It's like, he's Mr. November, you're Miss December, because you do a lot of great Christmas movies. But she ended up saying she's team A-Rod because she liked his beer, El Presidente. And he's like,
it's always about the alcohol with the Williams girls. We love our alcohol.
Oh, the
Kim
Manhattans,
and I did these like the Manhattans, and Kim and I did these every Friday afternoon during the pandemic, like the really height of the pandemic. Kim and I did these Instagram lives where we would talk, and so much of it was about like what we were going to drink after the Instagram live, whether or not we're drinking. Are we drinking right now? We were just sipping wine, and you know, it was all about survival at that point. So yeah, of course she, you know, by the way, Kim hates beer.
Really?
Yeah. What a faker. She hates beer. She and I used to have we would have a Corona with a lime as a warm up to we were Chardonnay people.
Oh, interesting.
Through and through. Yeah. Anyway, so okay, Kim and I for Christmas. Well, we also have a brother. He's a beekeeper. He's incredible. So we're gonna go to Tennessee to their farm, and we're gonna. Can you guys hear my dryer?
A little bit, actually. I think we
should
keep it in
dryer.
The episode, but it's
okay.
It's not
well,
bad.
That's my dryer. Well, this is just slice of life stuff here, guys. This is where the magic happens. My dryer's like in its spin cycle right now, and it's really excited. It's like my dryer is like rounding third right now, about to get a home run. So it's going to ramp up and the crowd's going to go wild. The baseball metaphors abound. Anyway, so Kim and I we're going to go to Tennessee. We're going to, Brad's going to be there. Brad's got his, you know, whiskey bar. My brother Jay, who's a beekeeper, you can follow him at Williams Honey Farm on Instagram. He's the best. He has such great videos about anybody interested in beekeeping. He's so cool. So he's going to be there. We're going to, you know, eat honey, and Brad can pour a Guinness from on tap from his bar. And we're going to do our cookie decorating, which happens Christmas Eve morning. And then we do our Santa run right afterwards, which is that we all get in costume and we run as fast as we can on the farm until we can't run anymore. Usually at some point during Christmas, someone starts crying because they're stressed. So I'll look forward to that. last year it was Kim. We have this picture of Kim. She started crying in the bathroom to Brad, and he took a picture of it and posted it on Instagram.
Oh, nice.
She's in a red sweater and she's just crying like this in the bathroom. Her eyes are closed. I really don't think that she knew he was taking a picture, but it's like the greatest picture. And I was saying that it should go in the invitation to Christmas every year. That should just be like the front of the invitation. Like, Merry Christmas. Let's do it again. And it's Kim sobbing in the bathroom. Happy New Year! It's a Williams family Christmas. Seriously, we have to find that. I'll send you that picture. It's hilarious.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, so at some point someone will cry. You know, we're gonna wear masks probably sometimes, even though we're all boosted. I don't know. Everyone's traveling in, so it's tricky, but we were thinking of maybe doing like a rapid test, and then we don't have to worry about it. Anyway.
And I see so that you, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I don't have anything to say. Can people see me right now?
Well, Mikey can snap a picture if you want to show us something.
Look at like the, this is my, Mikey, snap a pic of my headphones right now. Cause this is just Mikey, so everybody understands what I'm dealing with. They say that, how do you tie a perfect knot? You take your headphones and put them in your pocket for 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's usually how it works.
Perfect sailor's knot. Like, this is, I'm tethered to my computer forever now. Anyway, what are we talking about? Do we talk about Sister Swap?
Yes, we were talking about Christmas if there was going to be a big premiere party for Sister Swap. What does everyone have to look forward to in the movies?
Here's what we're doing. This is exciting. So we are going to be doing these surprise. Oh, guess what? The dryer's done.
Yahoo! Oh, rounding third. She had
a home run. Thank you, Maria.
Tie game.
So we're going to be doing we're going to drop in and surprise people during their watch parties, Kim and I. So if you want to have a watch party, there's a place where you can give us the link to your watch party. And I think we're doing three for the premiere of Kim's movie, which is December 5th. So if you want to have a watch party with your friends, we're going to drop in on people's watch parties. And I'm going to try to do as many as I can. Kim has less time than I do. I think I'm in a hotel room by myself that night. So I think I might just swing into a whole bunch of people's watch parties and just say hi during the movie, not to distract.
But yeah, because you never do that.
Yeah, I'm really all about focus.
Yeah, like with my introduction, just making me laugh the whole time.
Totally. So we're going to do that. So that's December 5th. And then December 12th, both movies air. So it's going to be a replay of Kim's movie and then the premiere of my movie that night. And I'm again going to be in a different hotel room that night. And I think I'm just going to try to drop into as many people's watch parties as possible, but you're not going to know ahead of time. So you got to just be there on Zoom watching. And then suddenly I'm going to come in and be like, ah!
Please use that exact facial expression the audience.
I will. Actually, they just saw it, so maybe I don't even need to do it, but it's going to be something like that. I'm going to try to scare you and just say hi to everybody who's watching. But we're encouraging people to post on Instagram about their watch parties with the hashtag SisterSwap, and we'll swing by. And listen, these movies were my idea. I wanted to work with my sister, but I felt like one movie wasn't enough. I'm not kidding. And I also wanted, you know, my sister's an amazing actress and I wanted her to have her own storyline and I wanted there to be romance, you know? So the initial, movie that Kim does, it's the first one that's airing on December 5th called Sister Swap. And it's all about a high powered businesswoman, the way all Hallmark movies are, who's not interested in love. And she ends up inheriting a movie theater. We have a special guest star, Kevin Nealon, who is an old friend of mine. I've known Kevin for more than 20 years. And he plays Uncle Dave and he gives Kim's character this movie theater and she's trying trying to decide if she should take it, you know, keep the movie theater or not. And that's the basic storyline of her movie. But what is really exciting is that she's got a sister whose name is Meg, and I play that sister. And so she's got a, you know, Kim's character has to leave her business to go and get to know this movie theater she's just inherited. But in order to leave her business, she needs someone to come in and run the business while she's out of town. So I come in and I take over her business, basically. And I realize that I am in love with this big city where, you know, my sister lives. And so we switch places. We swap, if you will. So she goes to the small town and I go to the big city, and the two storylines take place at the same time. So you'll watch Kim's movie and then you'll watch my movie, and you'll see that at the same time that all this stuff was going on with the movie theater, all this other stuff that Kim didn't even know about was going on in her business. And you know, there's also a ton of really cute boys that we end up kissing. Well, there's two. I kiss a boy and she kisses a boy.
Yeah, I mean, it's Hallmark. There can't be too many.
Yeah, that would be Lifetime, would probably be more than one boy per person. But yeah, so it's a really, they're both movies are really sweet and they do stand alone. So you don't, if you miss the first one, you don't have to watch that one in order to watch the second one. But I encourage people, watch the first movie, watch the second movie, and go back and watch the first movie again, because you're going to see all kinds of things you missed the first time around. There are scenes where I'm in the background of a scene and you don't know it until the second movie. So there's scenes that that appear in both movies, but from different perspectives. So it's really cool and really innovative idea. And I'm so, so, so excited that Hallmark went for it, because it's kind of outside the box for them.
Yeah, well, I give you a lot of credit, because I know that you and your husband and Kim were heavily involved as producers. So I give you props for pushing the boundaries a bit. I'm so excited to watch both parts, by the way.
All props go to Hallmark for being on board with it. It was complicated. And at first they were like, oh, why don't we just do a cute movie with the two of you? And I was like, no, it's like, I kept saying, it's like Back to the Future Part 2, where you go back and you realize all these cool things. And they were like, oh, can we just make it one movie? And I was like, no. So they finally got it and have been so supportive and really, honestly, like really got behind the idea and have been helping us out. We're going to be releasing a blooper reel with a whole bunch of hilarious stuff that went on while we were shooting, because it was a 6-week shoot. Usually these movies are just a 3-week shoot, but it was a 6-week shoot. So we all got really close. And the other exciting thing, can I just keep talking? I mean, what are we doing?
Please, you've got free reign, Ash. I don't say that to everyone. But
the other exciting thing is that, so my mom died of Alzheimer's disease 5 years ago, and her best friend for 30 years before that is an actress named Anna Holbrook, who was on a soap opera. She's the entire reason that my sister and I are actors. And so when we were trying to figure out how to cast the mother role, well, I called Anna and I said, will you please put yourself on tape for this part to play my mother? And she booked it. So Anna Holbrook, my mother's best friend of more than 30 years, is playing my mother and Kim's mother in these movies. And she's such a dynamite actress. She was on Another World. She has a daytime Emmy for her performance as Charlene on Another World, who was crazy. She had like multiple personality disorder or something. But she doesn't have that in these Hallmark movies. She's just an amazing mom. So I'm really, really excited about that. And we got Kevin Nealon. We were able to cast a bunch of our friends because we were producing. And the movies are really sweet, kind, like lovely, just lovely Christmas movies. But, you know, more than anything else, it's about women supporting each other, because my sister's my best friend and my biggest supporter. And it was exciting to be able to do a Hallmark movie about that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I feel like it took long enough to finally happen. I'm so glad it did. I do have to know, though, as you close as you and your sister are, and I love you both, but yeah. And even though you're consummate pros, if one of you flubbed a line on set, was there like a big sibling rivalry where you'd call each other out and make a big thing of it? Would that happen a lot?
Well, I think Kim and I are so self-deprecating that we're the first ones. And you'll see, like, those of you that see the blooper reel, which will be, like, up on my Instagram, and Hallmark is going to release it. There's just, we messed up basically constantly. And I did a lot of, like, wow, that was bad. And looking at the camera and being like, we need to take that again. And sometimes it was about her lines and sometimes it was about mine. I'm a little bit more flowy when it comes to memorization. Kim always really knew her lines. I am a little bit more like, sometimes I would be like, oh, I have an idea for a joke there. Okay, I'm basically going to say that, you know, and I'm just a little bit more relaxed about it. And Kim was very on point, which was so interesting. I didn't know that about her, you know, because we'd never really done anything like this before. So she always came to set knowing all of her lines, and I always came to set with a million ideas about how to change the scene on the fly. It wasn't the perfect combo, but we laughed so hard during the making of these movies. And I'm so, so, so proud of how they turned out.
Oh, I cannot wait to watch them, Ash. And again, folks, that's going to be Sunday, December 5th and Sunday, December 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And you can also, and this is not a paid plug, but what you can do also is download the Frndly TV app, and you can DVR them if you have, you know, a commitment at 8 o'clock and are still, you know, mm-hmm. and midnight comes around and you're dying to see it. So,
yeah, a lot of people don't know how to get the Hallmark channel anymore because nobody has cable. So it's just Frndly. Yeah, it's just Frndly. You know, yeah. is the name of the thing. And I think it's like $5 or something.
Yeah, it's well worth it. And
big time, now, yeah.
Ash, I want to pay a little homage to our last chat that we had in 2019 with a way that we wrapped the show. I let a very small group of people in on the fact that you were coming back on. And I'm not sure if you remember a little something called Fastball Derby that we played 2 years ago.
Oh, but God.
This is a different game today, and it has a very original title. It's called Fastball Derby 2.0. Pretty clever and original.
Is it, though, because it's the second iteration?
Yeah, yeah, it's great. The second. Yeah. So it makes sense, I guess. Yeah.
I'm into it.
All right. So I'm going to throw a few different fastballs at you, not just from my Rolodex, but from some of our loyal listeners, even a few friends of mine who were excited that you were getting a second at bat. Ninth inning, games on the line, high pressure. Aroldis Chapman is on the mound throwing 105 miles an hour. You got to think quick to bring home that winning run. I'll ask you a question. You tell me the first thing that comes to mind, stories where you find them fitting, and hopefully you hit it out of the park just like you did in 2019. You think you can handle it?
I'm terrified. I feel like it's probably just going to hit me in the face. Get hit in the nose.
In the real world, I have no ability to throw 105 miles an hour, and I'm far less intimidating than Chapman. But let's see how you do.
Okay, I'm ready.
Favorite bar on the Upper West Side?
Oh, God. Guys, there's no good bar on the Upper West Side.
None, huh?
I mean, I would not go to a bar on the Upper West Side. I mean, I would go to a restaurant and drink and maybe not eat. Does that count?
Sure.
What's really sad is I haven't been there in like 18 months, so I don't even know what's still there.
I just moved here in October. There are some great restaurants, but I haven't.
Are you on the Upper West Side?
Yeah, I went from Murray Hill to the Upper West Side.
Who?
That's why I was asking.
Murray Hill, by the way, why were you there? I'm so glad you're not there anymore.
It turned into the hood. But no one. Pre-pandemic, it was. We had a good time. We weren't like those like frat bros, but it was me and my old buddy Matt, and we had a nice place with a balcony. I mean, you can't get balconies in that many places when you're 27 years old. At least with what rents were back then,
God,
pre-COVID.
You're so young. Okay.
Let's 31 now, not young anymore.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
That's why I'm wearing a hat, Ash. I don't have as much hair.
I know. The Dublin. It's like on 73rd, 74th and Broadway, right in there. It's an old Irish pub. And I really hope it's still there. Is it still there?
You know what? I haven't been up there in a bit because the Rite Aid that was up by the subway around there just closed, which kind of sucked. Yeah, I love that place. Best prices. And not a paid ad for Rite Aid's remaining locations. But yeah, that kind of sucks. I don't go up there as much into the 70s anymore.
That's so uptown now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, wait. Oh, yeah. Now I'm uptown.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, the Dubliner, though.
The Dubliner is like 72nd and Broadway, somewhere around there.
Yeah, neighborhood's changed a little bit, but you still got gems here.
Yeah, go check that place out.
Okay.
Okay, give me the next one. This is terrifying.
Okay. All right, you're a big Broadway fan. Soundtrack from a Broadway flop that you enjoy the most.
A Broadway flop? From a Broadway flop? Oh, that never went to Broadway.
But if it has a soundtrack, I don't know if that counts, but...
Oh my God, I'm just the worst at this. Why do we do this every 2 years, Al? I mean, all I know that's all of them are hits. All of the ones that I love are hits. So right now I'm obsessed with the Hadestown soundtrack and I'm gearing up because I've seen Hadestown, but I'm going to go again. So that right now, that's the only thing that's in my head, which is not a flop. That's
just won a Tony Award or like 10, you know?
I'm the worst guest you've ever had. I don't even know what to say. I'm mortified.
It's just an 0-2 count. It doesn't make you a bad hitter. You're just behind in the count.
0-2? Yeah, I said the Dubliner.
Me made contact on that because you didn't fully commit to it.
Yeah, your metaphor's falling apart. All right, give me the third one.
Okay, the third one here. From my buddy Coleman, who remembered the last time you were here, you mentioned that your father was a poet. And Coleman would like to know if you've ever written a poem or a song for a specific person.
If I have ever written yes, I have. Of course, obviously. I can't stop writing stupid poems. Yeah, of course. My dad was a poet. He was also a songwriter. Well, he's still alive.
I know we shouldn't use past tense.
Right? Yeah, he's still alive. He for a little while he had a singing group with Alan Arkin, and they wrote a bunch of children's songs. And one of them was called "I Hate Broccoli." I hate broccoli. I hate going to bed. They're not great songs. But Alan Arkin, you'd think he'd be like kind of a genius, but not great songs. There was one he called "Cradle Rock." That's all about when my sister was born premature, and he would try to sing to her really loudly to keep her awake while he was feeding her. This cradle rock, this cradle roll, this cradle way up in the treetop, rock me head to soul.
Aw, that's so sweet. I'm touched.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah. So I'll tell Coleman though that you've written quite a bit yourself too. Okay.
I write, but I didn't say I write well. I'm prolific, but not talented.
Okay. Well, I would beg to differ, but I'm not a talented poet either, nor am I, but you know, you have me beaten pretty much, you know, anything arts related, you have talented.
You know what? It's all about balance. Cause balance me out with your baseball genius.
Thank you. But you know, there's certain guests that make it easy. And actually there's a reason why I asked you to come back on the show. And it's cause you said the worst guest I ever had. I was trying not to like turn this into a compliment show. You know, you're my favorite guest. So
come on.
I'm going to try to,
you need to raise your stakes here. Raise the bar, man. You're so funny.
We've got a couple more. This one's from Julie in Utah. If you could go back in time and see any musician or band in their prime perform in concert, who would you choose?
Miles Davis, right away. No question. In live, Miles Davis. Yeah.
His prime, huh? Yeah. That would be a good one.
Oh my God. That would be life changing. Hands down.
This is just a quick, fun one before we get to the final fastball. Favorite claymation Christmas special?
The Rudolph one.
Yeah, that's it. That is a good one.
What other one is there?
There are way too many. Not to say
really?
That I don't enjoy more than just Rudolph, but yeah, there's like they all play on like AMC and like now what is it? Mm. Oh my God, what's the channel that used to be ABC Fam? Freeform. They're all on those.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Highly recommend a few of them. Show your kids Year Without a Santa Claus. That's my favorite.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, it's got Mickey Rooney as Santa Claus. It's classic.
Ooh, okay. Love it.
Now, this is the one that we've been using to wrap a lot of recent fastball derbies. Fact about Ashley Williams that would surprise people the most.
Let me think. That would surprise people the most. Well, people know I'm kind of a mess. See, this, I have to think about what people think of me.
The self-deprecating thing is on full display right now that you were talking about earlier.
I mean, that's
earlier.
What I am. See, everything's getting a little like, I don't want to talk about my underwear. Can't find a bra that fits. We're not going there. I have an enormous water bottle named Walter.
You named your water bottle? Really? Yeah. Why?
Because he's somebody in my life I can rely on. He's huge, and it's always really helpful when I'm shooting because I wrote Walter on the water bottle, and then I always lose them when I'm on set. So the whole AD team knows who Walter is. So I'll be like, "Does anybody know where Walter is?" And someone will hold him up. So that's probably, people don't know that about me. It's special.
Mm-hmm. It does surprise me. I have a water bottle too. It came with a name though. It's just called Yeti.
Oh yeah. See, I have that too. I have that same water bottle, except I put coffee in it.
But not as good. It's not as good as Walter. I hear that.
No, Walter is special. Walter's faithful.
Yeah. Well, that's Walter, like you, Ashley, special and faithful because special guest and very loyal, I should say, to come back on to Break a Bad. I'm just so glad we could do this.
Me too. My pleasure. I'm always happy to come back.
You're the best, Ashley. Thank you so much again. And for all the folks at home, again, remember to watch Sister Swap on Sunday, December 5th and Sunday, December 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern time. You can catch Ashley and Kimberly on screen together. It is really the perfect kickoff to the holiday season. And I am so grateful that you could all join us in the batter's box today. So with that being said, this is Al Malafronte signing off from the Break a Bat Holiday Block Party. We'll see you next time. Woo-hoo! Thanks for listening to Break a Bat. This is produced by the fine folks at the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit and subscribe at bpn.fm/breakabat. You can find me online at break_a_bat_podcast. And you can also find the Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram at Broadway Podcast Network. It's been so great having you here with us today, and we'll see you next time.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.